Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. Welcome to another episode of the Group Answers Podcast. I'm Brian Daniel with Chris Rett, as always.
Well,
not really. It's been 3 years, we just determined.
Yeah, I think it has been three years.
And our pre-show prep.
Is that like is that silver or is it paper?
I think it's silver.
What kind of
anniversary
is that?
Ben Rees with us, ladies and gentlemen. Ben, isn't 3 years, isn't that the silver anniversary?
I have a kid that just passed three, and they just get more and more ornery, and that's what I feel like you guys are getting, is more and more ornery and grumpy.
That is true. We spend a lot of time together.
I don't think grumpy's fair, though. But Ben was struggling because silver's not even close to 3 years. he was reaching deep, and the only conclusion was, I don't think that's even close.
We're not even in the realm.
I don't know what to do with this joke.
Either these guys are really dumb, or they're reaching really far for humor here.
So, Ben Reed, why don't you introduce our friend?
You can be both. You can be dumb and reach for humor. Yeah.
Right. Sometimes that's the perfect pitch.
Yeah. All right. Let's bring Ben in. He's a repeat guest, although I think we figured it's been like a year or so since he was on.
Maybe a three-peat. If I may.
Maybe before I was around. But Ben used to blog at benreed.net. We were just discussing that.
Oh, it's missed.
But there's still stuff there I think you can check out. He oversees small groups, missions, and care at Mission Community Church in Gilbert, Arizona, which is a suburb of Phoenix, Arizona. He's the author of the book Starting Small. He's married with a son and daughter. His interaction with small groups, recruiting small group leaders, training and shepherding them is broad, and his heart beats for healthy, authentic, biblical, Jesus-focused community. He knows that without a healthy system, you can't replicate what you do with any efficiency. Is all that still true, Ben?
Yeah, it is. Seeing as you asked me to write my own intro a week ago, yes, it's still true, Chris.
You never know. I mean, you know, you read these things and you never know.
We're in a rapidly changing society, so you never know how fast things can come and go. But yes, as of today, that's still true.
You're still in Phoenix, Arizona, and it's warm, right?
It's a toasty 73 here today.
Warmish, yeah.
Feels great.
What's not in this bio is Ben is a sometimes on again and off again contributing writer for what we do, Chris.
Yeah.
I think you're aware of that.
Yeah.
And most recently, I guess, Ben, it's been very recently, right? You turned in the manuscript for Life and Love, which is the small group adaptation of the Ben Stewart trade book that is already available.
Yeah, I didn't actually even know the working title. So yes, I did work on the small group piece of that. That was a lot of fun, Brian. I mean, my heart beats for community, and so to take some incredible content from Ben Stewart and say, what would this look like to discuss some of the most important relationships that you'll ever have in life in the context of biblical community, where you know, you're loved and you're pushed and you're held accountable and it's safe. It was a lot of fun to develop that, give groups a chance to chew on some of these things that I think are really important, no matter what age you are.
And that will be available in May for those of you that might be interested. And Ben was in, you were in town, you were in Nashville. You came in for the writers conference and spent, I guess it was close to a day and a half with us by the time you got here, just because of the way travel goes. And that is not an easy trip to make with time zones and just the time in the air. So we were able to spend some time together, and you were talking about just things that were going on there at the church. And it's obvious you've been around small groups and discipleship strategies for a long time, and in, I would say it's very fair to say, different ministry settings. So I would like to know, and I think it'd be interesting for you to tell us how you have seen them evolve and change. And I think this comes out of just a couple of conversations that you and I had about what you're doing now at Mission Community Church now.
Yeah, I stepped into the small group space vocationally in 2007. So it's been it's been a long time, and I've seen what I feel like is just a lot of different iterations of what healthy community looks like. I mean, it's, I've seen, and you guys have seen this too, from, you know, movements where it's high discipleship, where it's, you know, it's focusing almost exclusively on content and delivery of that, to the relational model of doing groups, to the missional model of doing groups. I mean, and then as I've interacted with different small group pastors, I've seen some that would say, you know, over the last decade plus, that would say, okay, you've got to do it this way or it's not going to work. So it's this, our model is the only way to do it if you want to do it well. And you guys have probably seen that too. To others that would say, hey, here are the principles, here's the biblical principles, here's how we do it, but you have to do the hard work of contextualizing it. I've seen the rise of this kind of franchise model of, hey, here's the formula, plug and play, read this book, watch this DVD, go to this conference, and you'll have incredible groups, to, you know, the other end of the spectrum, which would be kind of the house church. You know, everything, every group is so unique because each is an expression of a church. Here at Mission, we say, we want you to connect relationally, grow spiritually. And so we try to keep those two things in balance. I mean, I've seen lots of trends come and go, but the one thing that we try to get our folks here to focus on is really those two things. It's connecting relationally and growing spiritually. And I think those are two things that could, I mean, as you look back across the decade that I've been in it, and you could even, you know, rewind much further back than that, as you see trends come and go, they trend to one of those two things. It's either, you know, if I could put these at polar opposites, it's high discipleship versus, you know, high relationship. And we're saying, and we actually think they're both really important. And to have a healthy group, you have to live in that tension. I think it's Nancy Ortberg's book on the power of the rubber band, where she talks about there's, you know, rubber band doesn't have any power if it's just laying on a table. Rubber band has its power and its purpose when you're holding both of the ends tight. That's where it gets its strength. And so we think at Mission that holding those two things, relationships and spiritual growth up, is where we're going to find health in groups. So it's not a balance of those two, and not, we're just going to, you know, we're going to do one for one season and one the next, but really trying to help groups navigate doing both of those at the same time.
Chris, is it fair to say that as we've seen the ministry and as we have seen the small group ministry evolve, that there has been this tension that I know, even though it maybe hasn't been said, the implication has been that you do one or the other better. Mm-hmm. You can do community really good, yep, at the expense of depth of discipleship, or you can go the other way and what suffers is community. And Ben's, yeah, saying that they're taking them both on.
Yeah, that's the knock on small groups, especially when you talk about home groups outside of the church context, is that it's just going to be about relationships and community, and that's it. They're not going to go deep. They're not going to do a study, you know, whatever. And that's always the knock and the fear when I talk to a lot of churches about when they're thinking about launching groups outside of the church setting. And to some degree, it's true, because, you know, when you're in a home, it's much easier to kind of drift toward just community. And when your foundation of your group is community, and only community and friendships, and when those friendships start to splinter, the group collapses. And so there has to be something, there has to be a mission underneath that, which is creating disciples, which if you're truly creating disciples, you're going to do both, like Ben is talking about. It's done best through relationship, but it's also giving them a foundation through the Word and through Scripture, which I think a lot of times comes to that Bible study and how important the curriculum is in the Bible study, especially if it is a home group. You know, the community is going to be pretty easy. It's that other piece that's going to be a little trickier. So, Ben, when you talk to your groups and you counsel groups on that, on picking curriculum and Bible study choices, do you adhere to a scope and sequence, or are you more kind of a la carte, pick what you want? How does that work for you guys?
That's a great question. It's funny, you know, we started off this discussion talking about, okay, is it, you know, we've seen missional groups and discipleship groups and home groups and campus groups, all these different things. You know, I've never once, not even once, been asked those types of questions from the group leader. Like, hey, what's the real value of doing a group off campus versus on campus? Nobody. Like, group leaders don't wrestle with these types of things. When I get questions from group leaders, it's the deep, deep question of what I'm supposed to do about childcare. Mm-hmm. It's the, you know, super deep question of what's our next study? Because they're like me, like you, Chris, like you, Brian, like anybody listening, they're busy and they're not wrestling through a lot of the same things week in and week out that, you know, we church leaders would think are of vital importance, and maybe they are really important. But what they're thinking is, I've got a group of people that's coming to my house, and they're going to expect me to have it together. What am I going to put in front of them? It's scary going into Tuesday night going, okay, what am I going to put out in front of people? We kind of don't do either. We say that a healthy group is based on a healthy leader. If the leader is healthy, I'm not as concerned about the group. If the leader is not healthy, I'm really concerned about the group. Even if, you know, we would say the unhealthy leader is studying some great curriculum, I would still be really concerned about the group. But for a healthy leader who is thriving in their walk with Jesus, I would say that the curriculum doesn't matter as much. So we really try to focus on getting our leaders healthy. But that said, we have a suggested track that we encourage groups to walk down. So we have them all start with the same study. It's a community building study that kind of sets out expectations, has them sign a group agreement so they can kind of agree on, here's our start time and our end time, here's what, you know, we're going to talk about in group, here's what we're not going to talk about in group, what's shared in group, stays in group, those types of general things. And then we're about half of our groups start with a pre-assigned leader that we've, you know, chosen, we've had conversations with, we've put them through training, and half don't. So we're in a little different model where we would start a group with without knowing exactly who the leader is going to be, but the curriculum that we use drives them to picking their point of contact, and then that's the person that that we work with to help get them trained and leading their group. We have them all start with the same curriculum, and then we have their second curriculum. We choose that and put that in their hands, and then from there we give them suggestions. So we have two primary suggestions. One is video-based curriculum that they can stream online, and then the other are life notes that we write based on the sermon from Sunday morning. So we actually found that that's become more and more popular with our groups, that they want to engage more based on a Sunday morning sermon. So we have loose framework, but we really focus on the health of the leader.
You referenced Growth Track, and you and I talked about this when you were in town. So tell me this, how does having a growth track to follow help group members, help congregants, anybody in their spiritual growth in ways that you've seen since you've been there, since you've been engaged in this way?
So Growth Track, let me back up just a little bit. This is a little bit unrelated to specific small groups. So I would say it's tied in with our small group strategy, but it's not a pure small group strategy. We learned from a lot of different churches. And Brian, we talked a while back, we were talking about Growth Track. That's a ministry out of Birmingham. Church of the Highlands does Growth Track. And they've exported that to a ton of different churches. It's incredible. But as we looked at that and a number of different models, some of which I've been involved in, some of which Joel, our lead pastor, has been involved in, we looked at that and said, it's not doing exactly what we want it to do. Because what we're wanting to do is we want to, over the course of a few weeks, help people understand what thriving life in Jesus looks like, and then the specific steps that they need to take to get there. Because the problem is there's often a disconnect between assimilation and spiritual formation. So assimilation being the process by which we get people plugged into ministries, but those ministries don't always help people spiritually form. And maybe it's because we need to tweak what we do. Maybe our small groups need tweaking, or maybe our serving on a team ministry needs to get tweaked, be tweaked, or whatever that is. But I think the problem more often than not is that we get on this, on stage with a microphone and we say, hey, group launch is coming up. So put yourself in the shoes of a normal person that's attending service, not us who fully believe in the ministries that we lead. Put yourself in the shoes of a person who's stumbling in a few minutes late to church, and they're barely making it before the last song, and the announcements are coming up on stage. And it's this week, it's you need to join a group because this is going to change your life. And then 2 weeks later, it's you need to go on a mission trip because this is going to change your life. And then 2 weeks later, it's you need to get on a Bible reading plan because this is going to change your life. And then it's you need to join a team. And then it's you need to serve our local community. And then it's on and on and on and on. And I think people get into this, they either try to do everything, and we know that doing things doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to grow spiritually. It'd be great if it did, because then we could just check that box and be done with it, because anybody can check a box. But they either try to do everything, or they run into decision paralysis and go, hey, you guys have said everything is important, so I'm just probably not going to do anything. So we're trying to assimilate people and help them grow spiritually, but there's a breakdown there. So at Mission, we try to step into that gap and say, how can we get the right opportunities in front of people so that when they step into, and fill in the blank, whether it's a group or whether it's recovery or whether it's counseling or whether it's a personally led spiritual growth retreat that they go on themselves, whatever that is, that it actually helps them grow where they are. Because the problem is, if I get up on stage and cast vision for a spiritual growth retreat, for some people who, let's say they're thriving in their faith, that's going to help them even more thrive. But for people who are just brand new to faith, that may crush them. I'm not going to help them grow spiritually. Yeah, it may be a turnoff for them spiritually. So we're trying to get the right opportunities in front of people that that we know will help them grow wherever they are in their stage of faith. So we've categorized it in four different ways. We've said you're either an explorer, a builder, an owner, or a thriver. And we put an assessment in front of you, and you self-assess through a series of questions, and we help you discover where you're at. And then over the course of 4 weeks, we unpack the value of the church, and we unpack the value of self-knowledge, and we unpack the value of the passions that you have in life and the people that God has brought into your life, and the past experiences that you've walked through, the highs and the lows, the things that have shaped you. And then we also talk about taking ownership and the personal spiritual disciplines, and how there are a lot of things that the church can do for you, but at the end of the day, you have a personal responsibility to take. So we walk them through this content and then give them we call it a thrive track, a spiritual growth track that's unique for every single person that goes through it. That we say, hey, over the next 6 months, work with your coach and use this as your guide to help you begin to grow spiritually. Because we want to move everybody from explorer, then to builder, then to owner, then to thriver, and to help them continue to thrive in their relationship with Jesus. So for us, we did a content read through that last fall. And then this spring, we're running some beta groups through it. And we're really excited because this feels like a missing piece that we've not had here at Mission. And then as I've been involved in a number of different church contexts, and Brian, you mentioned that early in the call. I've been in church plant. I've been in a traditional context where it was kind of Sunday school focused. I've been in a couple of different mega churches, and this seems to be the piece that's missing is a customized, personalized spiritual growth track. So we're taking a crack at it, and I think it'll change the spiritual growth of our people.
Thanks for that explanation. That's really helpful. So I gotta ask, on the growth track, and I think this is probably the question on others' minds is, so how do I say this? How are groups integrated into the growth track? What's the relationship there?
Yeah, so let me walk through a little bit more of the detail. So week one is really focused on who we are as a church and what we want for you. I think with a lot of these things, it can feel like you show up and it feels like the church is saying, here's what we want from you. We want your money. We want your time. We want your energy. We need all these things from you. And we want to position ourselves and say, this is not something that we want from you. We want this for you. That's week one. Week two is where groups really fit in. And so we talk about the indispensable role of the church. And so we talk about how it's really a two-way street and how, you know, over the last 50 years, the church has shifted, unfortunately, from a congregation-led to more of a staff-led, in the sense that, 50 years ago, a church didn't have a staff of 30, 40, 50, or the church that I came from was a staff of over 500. It's easy to look at a church like that, and especially when you're sitting in the seats, and you say, hey, everything's taken care of. You know, the campus looks clean, the lights work, they probably have it all together. And it's easy in that sense, to disengage yourself from the role that God created you to live in. So we want people to see that, okay, here at Mission, we have a staff of about 30 people. But it's a staff of 30 people to try to lead a church of over 3,000. We can't do it all. And it would be healthy if we did do it all. Therefore, you have a role to play. And you have a role to play in my spiritual growth, and I have a role to play in yours. And the way that we flesh that out is through groups. And so we think that there's a right group for each different person in each different phase of life, even stage of faith. So we have explorers, builders, owners, and thrivers. For our explorers, people who do not have a relationship with Jesus yet, we point them to Starting Point. It's an 8-week relationship-driven on-campus experience that we have that we try to tackle the fundamentals of the faith. Could they jump into a traditional small group and grow there? Sure. But we think that strategically that's not going to be the optimal step for them. We think the best step for them is going to be Starting Point. For owners, so skip builders for a second. For owners, we think that the traditional small group is great. These are people who are stepping into faith in a way that is beginning to take over all of their life. And they're asking the questions of, how does this begin to affect my family? How does this affect my job? How does my faith affect how I spend my free time and what I do with my hobbies? We think that the traditional group experience, and I would put small groups, Sunday school, missional groups, any of those types of groups, however you flesh out groups in your church context, that's what I mean here. Owners tend to really do well in the traditional small group. For thrivers, we tend to say, and maybe this is like a lot of your churches too, we tend to say, we want you leading our small groups. And if you're thriving in your faith, then we want you pouring back. The key differentiator for people who are thriving in their faith is that they've moved from becoming a disciple to being a disciple maker. So you're beginning to pour your faith out into others and bringing others along with you, and you're making disciples out of other people. Problem is, we haven't had a great environment for thrivers to connect with other thrivers. People who are truly in their walk with Jesus, they're excelling, they're thriving. We haven't had a great community experience for them outside of saying, hey, invest yourself back in groups, which we're still going to say that. But what I love about this Thrive Track that we're stepping into is we're beginning to see holes. So we see holes with builders, people who have a relationship with Jesus and are just starting to build kind of the foundations of that faith. We have not had a great community experience for them. And I think traditionally these are the people that they step into our small groups and they say things like, this isn't deep enough for me. There's not enough teaching here. This is too shallow, because they're just hungry for everything, all things scripture related. And they're asking so many great questions. And they're frustrated with traditional small groups. we didn't have a great community experience for them. And so we're testing out some different relational environments that we can put builders into. We're also testing out the springs and different environments we can put thrivers in. Because, yes, we still want them leading groups. They need to pour themselves back into other people. But they also need strategic environments where they can learn and connect with other people who are further down the road in their faith than explorers, builders, and owners. So it's really exposed some holes for us. So how do groups fit in? Every single person, regardless of their stage of faith, needs relationships. They need other people in their life. And again, we just want to get them connected relationally so they can grow spiritually. And we want them in a traditional group, but we think that there's sometimes a strategic step away from the traditional group experience that would help them take a step of faith.
That's good. That's really good. Last question for you, Ben. What is the number one challenge right now for you as a group's pastor, and how are you addressing it?
Number one. No honorable mentions.
Nope.
You got to pick one.
No honorable mentions.
one.
My goodness.
Child care. Don't say child care.
No child care. That's the other rule. So no honorable mentions. No child care.
No child care.
Yeah. Can I say child care?
No.
Is that okay for me to say? I think it's really, Chris and Brian, it's my time. And it's feeling the weight of wearing multiple hats and multiple different responsibilities and making sure that group leaders feel relationally connected to what we're doing at the church. I think that we try to work this out through coaching and through making sure that we have a coach that is overseeing every one of our groups. I'm of the persuasion that the way that we do coaching, and I say we collectively, not just at Mission, the way that coaching is traditionally done in churches doesn't work. This whole idea of, one volunteer oversees 4 to 5 groups and they call them and try to connect with them and email them. I think that it's a broken model and a broken system, and it doesn't work. And that the real loser in that are the group leaders who end up not being cared for, and end up either going rogue or just trying to do it on their own. So as I feel my time being pinched, and trying to put more into the hands of coaches, I think our coaching model is broken. And we got to fix that because my time is limited. I have the same number of hours in my day that everybody else does. And we have over 100 groups now. I can't possibly give each of those the attention that they need and the attention that they deserve. Because we think people's spiritual growth hinges on these groups. So I can't pour the amount of time into them that's needed. So got to lean on volunteers for that. So I think the biggest challenge that I'm up against is right after childcare would be my time.
Yeah, well, I think all of us would amen that. And the coaching is always an issue. And childcare is the number one barrier for people getting into groups, especially young families. So you managed to hit like 3. So good job, Ben.
Yes. It was just one, Chris. Yes, for it was one. Just one. That's all it was.
But you hit that. No, that's all good.
You knew he'd find a way.
We are part of the Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network, which we love being a part of that. And just a shout out to one of our sister podcasts real quick, the 5 Leadership Questions, or otherwise known in the hipster world as 5LQ. It's hosted by Todd Atkins. Almost said Pod Atkins, which he really should change his name because he does so many podcasts.
Yeah.
But Todd Atkins and Daniel M, they're part of the family, and they've recently interviewed leaders like Albert Tate, Rosaria Butterfield, and Paul Tripp, and Chris Surratt and Brian Daniel.
Yep.
Thank you very much.
Yep. Did you see where they tweeted out quotes from our show?
I saw that. I don't remember saying them, but
they,
I remember.
They each had one like.
Yeah.
And that was me.
I like them too, so it's all right. So just look up 5 Leadership Questions on your favorite podcasting app and subscribe today. And subscribe to us. If you like this, go to iTunes, rate us. That's how people find it. So we'd love for you to do that.
And that's going to wrap it up for this episode of the Group Answers Podcast Show. I would like to thank our three-peat guest, Ben Reed. You can follow Reed. That's right, applause. You can follow Ben on Twitter at BENREED and Instagram at Ben L. Reed. Same spelling. I said Instagram and not Insta or IG.
Yeah, you went old school.
You know, but I can't pull off cool. I just can't do it, so I don't even try anymore. So that's the way it is. So, Ben, thank you for being with us. It's always great. I'm sure everyone loves hearing from you, and we will definitely have you back. So do your best to enjoy Arizona during this time of year. That's going to do it for Chris Surratt and I. Looking forward to being with you again.